All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Casual Nonsense. I'd say it's a special episode, but every episode is special when I have these two gentlemen with me. What we're talking about today is get into the Super Bowl preview. We have the Super Bowl coming up soon, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to quickly go over the AFC and NFC matchups, which we just saw. Once again, as we're talking sports, we're talking NFL. I got two sports fanatics with me today. I got Tim and I got Booze. Good morning, fellas. Good afternoon. How's everything going?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me, man. Good to be back. Good to know that some of our picks went through last week and some of them didn't.
That's right. That's right. What about you, Booze? How you doing today?
Good. I'm just looking at my analytic play sheet here to see what other stupid things could happen in the Super Bowl.
You have some stupid things lined up?
Yeah, maybe 4th and 20 is a good idea. We'll see.
You got to play for 4th and 20. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, I had a question about NFL in general and your guys' thoughts on this. How come these players wear their gold chains when they're on the field? Like, how come you're wearing jewelry? I don't understand that. Is there a reason behind it?
It's like style. It's a swag. And especially when you take your, I have a chain that I like to wear sometimes. Sometimes I just feel like more manly when I have my chain on.
Yeah, if you're going to a club or you're going to a restaurant or work, sure, chain it up.
Yeah,
Mr. T,
everywhere.
Be the full Mr. T burnout collection there.
It's probably the only sport you could wear a chain, right? Because baseball, yep. You can't because it's the sun and the pitcher can't.
Right, the pitcher can't. Yeah, there's players who wear chains.
Yeah, and then basketball, obviously you can't wear chains. They're going to freaking die. So
I just don't get it, right? So maybe because I've never had expensive chains, you know, so maybe the quality is good. But I'm like, what if it falls off? You get tackled, you get hit in the face, whatever, and you lose your chain. I mean, you're out 10 grand or whatever you paid for that thing.
Chump change.
Yeah, I think they can afford it.
No one feels bad for them.
Just a little bit.
Right? Even the low-paid guys get paid.
I mean, you know, they have their expensive stuff. They have their diamond-studded chains, but they're also just, you know, this is the little Cuban link.
They're wearing game chains. Like they only
wear
them
exactly.
The game. Yeah.
You know what? You just coined a phrase. We got game chains.
Game chains, yeah.
Booze, always coming up with something.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so this past weekend, let's start with the AFC, the Chiefs versus the Ravens. I think most people were picking the Ravens. I'll say it was probably more of an emotional pick. Booze, why don't you start on the Ravens, Chiefs, because I know you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, the Chiefs look like the Patriots.
The Patriots of what year?
Any year they're on the road, where the Patriots go up, they kind of take the lead, they strangle them, they make the other team panic. And they just pull it out. I saw it in 2 Steeler AFC title games. Saw it in the Chiefs. And I'll give Patrick Mahomes credit. He won it. Now, the Ravens gagged. They're a bunch of gaggers. The Harbaugh's horrible. They panicked. They only ran the ball about 8 times. I mean, they were a bunch of gaggers at home. And now Lamar's got a huge, huge 50-pound weight on his back. He doesn't know what this is going to be real pressure for him now. But I'll give the Chiefs credit. You know, as Pedro Martinez is calling my daddies, they're the champs. But I will say this: he's still not as good as Tom Brady. Tim, not even close. He's not there yet. But give it to him. I give all the props to the Chiefs.
Listen, Lord Booze, Mark, when you're playing against a generational talent, the LeBron James of the NFL.
This is why I wish I had a puke soundbite.
Listen, he has not missed the AFC Championship. In what, like, was it 5 or 6 years? Something like that. I forgot. He's been consecutive AFC. This was a really bad team. Let me read to you the box score for this team. Travis Kelce, the lone star, had 11 receptions, 116 yards. For all the naysayers who were saying, you know, oh, he's washed, he should retire at the end of the season, da, 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 da.
Who says that? No one's saying that.
No, I saw a lot of chatter.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that. Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that.
And by the way, he was great. He was great.
He was amazing. He was amazing. That's what Mahomes can do when he has a serviceable receiver. Outside of that, Rashee Rice, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Isaiah Pacheco with a couple passes up the backfield. I mean, terrible, terrible team.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Mahomes won the game or the Ravens lost the game?
I think Mahomes won. First off, Mahomes missed only 9 passes, 30 for 39, 241 yards and touchdown. He was outstanding. His passer
rating
was
That doesn't mean much because he wasn't
great.
Throwing deep. He was dinking and dunking.
But he was throwing to plumbers and insurance agents. Like,
that sounds
come on,
familiar.
Man.
That has shades of 2001 Patriots when Tom Brady had a bunch of ball
so
boys.
I think the Chiefs took the lead and strangled the Ravens for them to choke. So yeah. It's kind of 50-50. I do like to say, Tim, I am very disappointed in you to compare Patrick Mahomes to the lying, crying baby of LeBron James. You're doing a disservice to Patrick Mahomes.
Listen, like I said, we do not want to miss greatness, right?
And I'm glad you didn't pick Jordan because Jordan's Brady, just so you know.
And, oh, my gosh. Yeah, please. No, I'm not joking. I love Jordan. I just don't love Brady.
I think that the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I will give credit to the Chiefs defense a little bit because I picked Baltimore, right? My heart wanted to go with Brady, but I said I have Baltimore winning the Super Bowl. And obviously I was wrong.
You said your heart wanted to go with Brady?
Yeah, there we go. Subliminally, yes. He knows.
We're being recorded.
Do not delete that.
Edit that out.
Edit
that out. My heart was going with the, Brady 2.0, Mahomes. My logic said Lamar and the Ravens are just better. Like, top to bottom, their roster is better. There's no way they can lose this game. And, we have to give a lot of blame to Lamar Jackson. He's a multifaceted quarterback who just really couldn't get it going. He was throwing off his back foot a lot. He was, not making good reads for his, for his rushing opportunities. I think he had one 21-yard run, I remember. It was on third down. And yeah. He got it, and he got the first down. But, man, he had so much open space. I was like, how do you let him tackle you? Michael Vick would have never let anyone tackle him with that much space.
I feel like he stopped on that play.
Like, you think
he
went so?
And he, yeah, I do because I remember watching the replay and I'm like, what's he doing? Like, why does he just like let the guy come get me? Anyway, that's another story for another day. You kind of said it. I think that the Chiefs defense, I was more impressed by their defense this game because I thought that they played really well. They kept the Ravens off balance, but the flip side of that is I was expecting more out of the Ravens defense because the first half they couldn't stop anything, and the second half they couldn't compose themselves. I mean, they stopped the Chiefs in the second half, but for some reason, they just couldn't get it together.
They got punched in the mouth, and they didn't know how to respond.
By the Chiefs as a team. It was an entertaining game, right? And I think that the problem is, like I said, Boos, and you had said this, we were talking on the side. If the Ravens lose their composure, which they did, they're hitting penalties, they're trying to show that they're the toughest guy in the field, and you're not going to get away with that because you can't helmet to helmet a quarterback, right? As much as you want to, like, oh, look, I showed you, don't run at me. That's 15 yards, dude.
That was old school, like, Macho Man clothesline on one of them.
Yeah.
Like, coming off the ropes. It was awesome.
And how about the idiot that wants to taunt the guy at the 10-yard
line? Jose Flowers. He was a mess. He was moron. He was a puddle all day long. I mean, he taunts the guy. He fumbles it on the 1 yard line. Talented guy.
Going back to the Chiefs defense, they played very creative schemes. Steve Spagnuolo, former Giants defensive coordinator, like, got to give him credit. He is a whiz, a mastermind. He somehow still manages to have an impact. Even though when he's on the Giants, I'm so frustrated with him and I'm yelling at him all the time. But then when he leaves the Giants, it's like, man, you are a really good defensive coordinator.
So the Chiefs win, ho-hum, once again, who cares, yippity-doo. We all wanted to see Lamar do something, but I mean, there's no other way to say it. I think he choked. I think he had an opportunity to do what got them to the best record in the NFL, and he didn't do it. Like you said, they ran eight times as a team. He has so much talent and athleticism. I mean, he caught his own pass at one point, right? Which was awesome. But why didn't he run the ball? He's over here towards the end of the game and he's throwing these 40-yard bombs, hoping for a pass interference call. Sorry, you're not going to get it against the Chiefs. You got to just play your game.
This is a career defining game for Lamar Jackson. And I'm going to take it back to the preseason when we were talking about that contract last week. And he felt, he already has an MVP. So that's a good thing. He's proven that he's not just a mobile quarterback. He can also be a pocket passer as well. And with great success and great accuracy when he has weapons. So he now got everything that he needed to prove that he was actually worth the contract he believed he was worth. And I will admit, DeSean Jackson didn't deserve it. Did I say DeSean Jackson? Lamar Jackson.
This is why I have a problem with part of what you're saying, Tim. When you say Lamar Jackson's a great pocket passer when he has good weapons. Did I say Lamar Jackson? Did I say something? What I
said? You said Lamar.
No, Lamar.
Tim said Deshaun.
Okay. I said Deshaun.
Okay.
Damn, Eagles, I hate you.
Eagles are in his head, too.
When Lamar Jackson, as you said, Tim, when Lamar Jackson has weapons, he's a good pocket passer, right? That makes him a good quarterback. A great quarterback makes those passes, is a good pocket passer with any receivers, right?
Don't misquote me. I said he's proven he's also a good pocket passer and he can make real damage when he has weapons as well.
But my point is this, right? You're not wrong, okay? But when you look at the great quarterbacks, and I'm even going to lump Mahomes into this. I know this pains me to say it, but Mahomes with lesser weapons, as you pointed out, will still make those passes. And that's a la Brady, who did it for 10 years. Brady never had the weapons. He had weapons for a couple of years out of his career. And when he did, he broke records, right? But that's what makes a great quarterback. And you could go back and pull out other quarterbacks that are similar in their play style. Right. Everybody wants a good weapon.
I agree with you ultimately. Yeah. And I like I said, this was a career defining game. I think that this was the chance. He had the better team. He had the home field advantage, you know, all the momentum in the world, the bye week, everything. He's not Mahomes.
He's not Mahomes. He's not Burrow. He's not Herbert.
Yeah.
He is not in the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
This was a big gag. This was like LeBron in Dallas in 2011. So yeah, I major meltdown.
All right. So AFC. Chiefs representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Let's move on to the NFC matchup. We got San Francisco and the little Lions that could. Detroit was such a good feel-good team. Selfishly, I'm going for San Fran in that game because, well, we all won $100. So so congrats to the three amigos over here because we got paid. But I'll tell you, that was a fantastic football game all around. I loved it from the beginning. I love how it wasn't a blowout. And it came down to the end of the game. I mean, as a football fan, I loved watching every aspect of that game.
Roll the tape. What did I say? The Lions are going to gag at the end and all the Detroit Lion fans. That was an epic meltdown choke job. Epic. And I predicted it last week that they were going to lose in spectacular fashion. And when you're up 17 points and then your coach decides to go for it fourth down twice, when all you have to do is kick a field goal, and then when you do go for a fourth down, you hit the guy right in the numbers, and he drops it. You Detroit fans are jokers. You're never going to make it.
That's how he called it every time. You got to respect him sticking to his guns.
No, he's an idiot. He's a moron.
If it works, he's one of the greatest coaches ever.
Let's go back. So they're up 17 at the half. San Fran comes down, kicks the field goal. So they're up 14. Detroit goes right down the field. If he just kicks the field goal, they're back to a 17-point lead with 8 minutes to go. Instead, he misses it. He goes for it. They go right down, get the momentum, and there's the game. He plays the analytics scorecard like any other NFL coach with all these gadgets, and you got to go for it on fourth and three. And I'm sorry. I always go by the sports gods. The sports gods give it, and the sports gods take it away. And you can't win by analytics alone. You can't. I mean, I'll give a perfect example. I heard this today. I'm stealing from somebody else, but we all know the story. Seattle, New England Super Bowl, 40 seconds left. Hightower takes down Marshawn at the 1 yard line. The clock's ticking. Yep. And even me screaming, call a timeout, Bill. Call a timeout. Instead, Belichick, and it's well known, looks at the Seattle sidelines and they're all disarrayed. So Bill's like, let's just play this out. And we know how that ends. That's not analytics. That's just gut feeling.
I would argue that that was just a bad play call by Pete Carroll.
But Belichick saw that there was some. He wanted to play it out. All I'm saying is you can't take your Commodore 64, plug in the game, and see what happens at the end without having a little kind of innuendo instead of like, what does the computer tell me? Fourth and three, let's go for it. You can't do that all the time. You won't never win. Never win.
You think the Detroit lost because of their coach? You think if they're playing it straight up on a lot of these cases?
Oh yeah,
think that they're taking that game?
I think they
should be in the Super Bowl right now.
I think they should be in the Super Bowl. I think he led them to the loss. Now, a ball bouncing off a guy's face mask, this stuff like that happens. But those two decisions, I think, could have made the game. The second time he went for it, they could have kicked a field goal to tie the game. It wasn't like it was to cut the lead. They could have tied the game. They were down 15. They make it one score. It was a tie game. And what happens? 49ers go down. They're down by two scores after that. He completely blew that game coaching-wise. Blew it. And Detroit will not be back again.
I don't know about that.
They will not be back.
I don't know about that. That one, I think they were – I think they have an all-world defensive end now in Hutchinson. And I think that as long as he's on that team –
They owned him in that game, by the way. He did nothing in that game. He was
But he's still so young. Like, he's not even at his prime yet. He's going to be a monster for years to come.
I'm going to say it now. Just cut it now, Mark. Next year, the Lions will not be in the championship game.
You said never again. I'm not saying they'll be here next year.
I'm talking next year.
They'll be back. I'm not going to promise next year, but yeah, they'll be back.
There are certain losses teams have that ruin them for many years. 2006, Chargers versus Patriots. The Patriots ruined the Chargers ever. They ruined them. That game in San Diego, they ruined them. Totally destroyed them. Yes, Patriots have ruined some teams, but you've seen these games. I think Baltimore is going to be ruined by this Chiefs game. They gagged that one.
I actually agree with that. I think you're right. I think that it's like they just... You know, everyone's getting beat up by their bigger brother right now. Yeah. And I think the same for the Bills. Like, you had an opportunity. You have this team on the ropes, and you couldn't get it done.
12 Ravens, seconds. That, you they got ruined this team them. On the ropes. They have never been Buffalo.
The Bills do that a lot.
Well, that's
oh, they do. Time. I love it. I love the pain and agony. I can lick the tears of Bills fans and Lions fans. I so enjoy it so much. Not as much as Jets fans. I love that the best. They're just a bunch of horrible people. But everything else, I just love that. I love it. Oh, God, I embrace it. I embrace it so much, the choking. Oh, so great. I loved it. So great. And I won $100. That was so great.
You don't like the Lions at all. You think that you don't, because they're coach, you're not a Lion fan.
I don't like coaches who just play the analytic game and they look at their computer and they tell them what to do. That's not sports. Sports is gut reaction. Sports is instincts. Sports is momentum. Sports is, let me look at my computer and what do I do on 4th and 3 from the 32-yard line? Oh, it says I have a 58% chance to go for it. So I'm going to do that. No, 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 right. No. That's not sports.
It didn't really work out for Billy Beane, but Theo Epstein made it work out for the Sox, so happy about that.
Theo Epstein had the largest payroll in the history of baseball when they won the World Series.
Yeah, that helps too. Yeah, analytics and a $200 million payroll, that helps you.
The Ravens are the Atlanta Braves pre-1999. They can't win it.
You know, I just thought back to the Falcons against the Patriots, and they got falconed. I think I tweeted it that night too.
Oh, I love that one too.
It was a colossal breakdown.
Same thing, because you're right. The Falcons could have put that game away, but they kept throwing the ball, trying to like get that FU touchdown, and they got burned by it. And then
I text with a friend of mine. We text every game. We have lingo. And I texted at the end of the first half, the Patriots-Falcon games, I texted choking dogs, which was about the Patriots choking. And he still keeps that text to this day. He reminds me, choking dogs. Next thing you know. I gave up faith for 5 minutes, and it came to haunt me. But.
Hey, everyone, Mark here, and I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scenes moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, but to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take, check us out, and now back to the show.
Yep, that was Detroit's fault, and Brock Purdy's going to the Super Bowl.
So that's what I like to see. I think Purdy's one of those, I don't want to say he's underrated, I just think he's not really rated, right? So here's a guy that has, you know, some pretty decent weapons in San Francisco. Let's be honest. Like, you got a lot of people you can
pretty
get that
decent.
Ball to.
Come yeah.
on, Come on, Mark.
I was trying to.
Guess I'm on with Tim with this one.
I was like slow playing the, but that's what I mean. Like, you know, he hasn't proven himself as a great quarterback. When you have great weapons, like, you'd have to be a time manager. You're like the Joe Flacco from the old school Ravens, right? You just have to not lose the game. And that's what his role is in the Super Bowl. Is like, you just need to not, if he doesn't turn the ball over, I think there's a good chance that San Fran, but we'll get to the Super Bowl picks and you guys can give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Before we get there, I want to say, this game was another reminder. I am not confident in Brock Purdy. You know, this is the second game in a row where the first half and really in this one, the first three quarters, was just selling clunkers. Lions defense was having their way with them. And then he always goes on this miracle run in the fourth quarter where he's hitting everything and perfect passer rating. And I think his luck is going to run out at some point. And it kind of did when you saw the creative defense at the Ravens. I think it was week 15. The Ravens played the Niners. And I forgot who I was watching it with. And they were telling me, look out for Hamilton. Hamilton's going to have a big game. You know, like the Ravens, they're good, but they aren't good with like creative blitz packages, you know, involving the safeties. They're just not good in those situations. And sure enough, the Ravens railroaded them. I feel like Brock Purdy's another one who's going to have, you know, I feel like he's going to have issues when he sees a really complex defense with really interesting, you know, blitz packages and things like that. So I think that the Lions, not just on the, I think that the Lions defense really is who gave up on them and really lost them that game. I'm not even going to put that on Jared Goff. He didn't have a great game, but you know, David Montgomery was, they were rushing the ball like crazy in the first, in the first half. I was like, against this Chiefs, not Chiefs, against this Niners defense. Wow. They were doing their thing. But I think the Lions defense lost this for them. I think that Brock Purdy is not invincible. I think he's flawed. I'm not going to give him credit for this win.
Okay. Now we know we know who won those games. We know who's in the Super Bowl.
Hey, Mark, before we move to the next section, actually, I forgot to mention something on the AFC. What did you guys think of that Zay Flowers fumble for a touchback?
Well, I mentioned he's a dope. You know, I mean, that was a great – but that was a great defensive play. Right?
People
but
he hate that been, rule, by the way.
He wouldn't have been in a situation if he didn't taunt the guy. You would have had first and goal from the 10. Instead, you got to try to be this tough guy, and now you're back at the 25, and three or four plays later, you're – totally.
Did you see he slammed his hand on the bench and then he hurt his hand after that play?
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you might have all the talent, but it doesn't fix what's up here. You got nothing.
Yeah.
You got to be smart. But that's par for the course for the Ravens that entire game. Like, they outplay everybody all year long, and then you get in the situation where, I don't know, maybe they're reading their own headlines. Maybe they saw the picture of the cookie cake with their picture on it versus the 49ers. There was a picture going around. It was Super Bowl, whatever, with the Niners versus the Ravens on a cookie cake. And I saw that right before the game. And I'm like, well, they just got jinxed. As soon as I saw that picture, I'm like, well, Chiefs win this one. Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. You know, halftime show. What do you think? They flying in Tay-Tay? They switching it up last minute? She coming back from Tokyo?
ironically, because of the time change, she can get back in time. And I was thinking, so I don't know how much you guys listen to R&B, but I listen to a lot of R&B. And Usher is definitely, you know, underrated, probably one of the greatest R&B artists that we've ever seen live. Anyway, I'm not going to get into music. R. Kelly had a good run, but, you know, we're not going to.
Let's not go there.
Amongst other things.
Family show.
Usher has an amazing catalog. Now, I went to a festival last year, my first festival, and Usher was one of the headliners. And he does a lot of the shirt off and, you know, showing off his 50-year-old six-pack and perfect pecs. So I'm expecting to see some of that. But he also has some really good collaborations. I thought, wouldn't it be amazing, with all the press that we've had, right after Taylor Swift's the biggest tour of all time, she's, you know, at every cut screen, freaking Tony Romo's having a hard-on for her every time we see her. Wouldn't it be amazing if they debuted a new song, Usher and Taylor Swift, right that day and performed it at the Super Bowl? I think the world would go nuts. It would break the internet.
You heard it first right here. Tim making the prediction. I like it.
I have no prediction for halftime, but that's a good one, Tim. I mean, they've been probably kind of coy, Swift and Kelsey. They don't, everybody's talking about, but they don't really show, they don't do Instagrams and stuff. So I don't care. Let the two lovebirds have a good time. That's
fine. Everyone thinks it's a PR stunt.
I don't get into all that stuff, but now there's all these like rumors that the whole NFL is fixed for Taylor Swift. Can we just enjoy the game?
I don't think it's fixed because of her. But no. You know, I think what Taylor Swift has done for people watching these, like, everyone's become Chiefs fans, all Taylor Swift fans are now Chiefs fans. I think what that's done for football has been the greatest kick up, you know what I mean, for such a long time, because now you have women watching football in the hopes that, oh, is Taylor at the game? Am I going to see her cheering in the you know, the two or three shots that they show her up there? It's a little ridiculous, and I think it's become a circus a little bit in that sense, but it's not distracting. I hope it's not distracting from the fans' point of view, but if you're the NFL brass, I mean, you're not mad at that.
It is a circus. That's what sports is. It's entertainment. I mean, pro football is the 2024 equivalent to the Roman gladiators. That's what football is. It's, you know, it's entertainment, you know? So, It's the best sports brand on TV you could ever watch. There's nothing better.
But football has a certain demographic, right? Like a lot of people watch football. I'm not saying it's just a man-driven sport, right? But chances are, if you're a football fan, you're not so much a Taylor Swift fan, right? You're not. There's no Taylor Swift music you're getting you hyped before the games. You know what I mean? So to me, it's like you're bringing in another demographic that doesn't really necessarily fit with football. Like, not that it matters. Like, it doesn't affect.
It's a different world now, Mark. I mean, every sports arena, like now more than ever, we care about women's soccer. You know, and Megan Rapinoe and Rapinoe and Hope Solo and all those other greats. You know, now more than ever, the WNBA, like Steph Curry is going against Sabrina Ionescu in the 3-point contest. We've never seen that before. Like, it's just becoming more pronounced. I think I like that. I think it's doing good for the game, getting more. It's making more entertaining. I don't think it takes away from football at all. I think, especially that Travis Kelce's not being impacted, he's still having great games. You know, I think it makes it more to talk about. That being said, heard some rumors Travis Kelce is prepping for a life after football, maybe something in Hollywood. So this is definitely doing good for his stock. Three numbers, 330, $330 million that Taylor Swift generated for the NFL. They are not mad. They're going to keep going. They're going to show her as much as possible.
Not to get the boozy and locks, but there are betting parlors taking a Travis Kelce proposal after the Super Bowl if they win. You can bet on that.
Right on the field, huh?
I might throw a few dollars just for fun.
All right, last question about the halftime show, Booze. Can you name three Usher songs?
No.
Oh, man.
I'll be honest.
I'm not a music guy, though. I don't know music really well.
Man.
Tim's freaking out over there. Everything you said, Tim, I agree 100%. I like Usher. I don't know the names of his songs.
I probably know the songs, Tim. I just don't know the titles of the songs.
So. Right. Like, to me, I'm more of a fan of halftime shows. I like the ensembles. You know, when, like, Rihanna was on, like, Rihanna's got a bunch of good songs. But it's like, you sing a couple things. I don't want to watch your concert during halftime. You know what I mean? That's a good time to say, hey, I'm going to get some food. I'm going to go to the bathroom. You know, I might listen to it, but cool. But when you have
it's been like that for halftimes forever, man. Halftime Super Bowl.
When you have Eminem and Dre up there, I want to see what's going to happen. What are they doing next? You got, what was some other ensembles they have? When they have, I don't know how many
up
years
with people.
Ago it was. Like,
agree Rihanna was a bit stale, but she was pregnant also. So, I mean.
Listen, I'm nothing against Rihanna. I like her songs. Like, every song she sings, I knew all her songs. But again, I couldn't tell you the names of those songs. So I know when Usher's performing, I'm going to be like, oh, that's a good song. He's a great entertainer. Like I said, he's a fantastic dancer. He's going to put on a good show. I have no doubt about that. But for me, I'm just like, you know, show me you're going to bring out a little Aerosmith or something with him and do some little jam, some stuff or whatever.
He's
maybe not Aerosmith.
Going to bring out Ludacris and Little John because they have like three songs together.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That's the one I know.
So before we go to my picks, I always grew up loving
whoa, whoa,
the Super
whoa,
Bowl.
Whoa, whoa. We are not going to move on from the halftime.
No. This is leading to a halftime discussion. So growing up, I loved the Super Bowl more than anything, even though I wasn't a Patriots fan. You know, the Patriots sucked, I mean. So I used to watch every year as a kid, before ESPN had a million shows, they'd always show the Super Bowl movie marathons. They still do once in a while. So
what's the Super Bowl movie marathon?
Like they always do a 30-minute show, like a movie about the Super Bowl. You've seen it, like Super Bowl,
the history of it, and stuff
Orange
like that.
Bowl,
biggest
Super
moments.
Bowl 14.
Like, oh, okay.
So I watch them all, but I do research on it. And the halftime shows used to be like the University of Michigan marching band. The first one I always remember as my favorite Super Bowl halftime show, I think is number one, is MJ. MJ at the Rose Bowl. I still remember that performance and how cool that was. That was like the real first performance of a halftime show.
He didn't do anything. He stood there and looked in one direction and people fainted. And then he would look in the other direction and a woman would throw their panties on stage. And he would just stand there. And
it was just the whole, it was just the biggest star in the world doing the halftime show. And ever since then, it's been great. You know, I mean, I was I love Katy Perry. I loved,
hers was great.
I think U2 and 9/11 and the Patriots was amazing. That was an amazing set list. They did that.
I love Bruno Mars when he came in on the piano.
Bruno Mars was excellent.
That was the best one to me.
I thought and the number one, I think, was one of the best is Prince in the Rain in Miami. That was
That was cool.
Playing Purple, and it was the Colts and the Saints. So
what about Coldplay? You didn't like Coldplay?
No.
Tim's like, I don't remember Copley even playing there.
No, it was recent. That was recent.
Maybe 10 years. Anyway,
I thought the West Coast LA one was cool. With you had like everybody in that thing that was from rap artists from the last 20 years or was in that. That was
Because we know historically we haven't had rap music or really it's just been pop music. It's always been like family friendly pop music. Safe. Besides the whole boob gate.
Yep. Can you imagine if Twitter was around in 2003 for that? The whole internet still like burned down that night. I always talk about like one of the five, like if you had Twitter, what would that be like? And that's number one. If you had Twitter, like to be like, my phone would be smoking for real if there was something like that in 2003.
All right, Boost, you got a couple of locks for us here. So what would you say your percentage is, your win percentage this football season? Like no bullshit.
63%.
Okay. This is what you've spent money on, not just what you're regurgitating us to do.
So, to be all honest with people, we haven't had much time to really delve into the deep things. So I did one lock pick, and this is not a Super Bowl pick. So, I'm just telling you, I'm just playing with points here. So, most of these apps, you can scroll up points. Like, you don't have to pick the exact points they offer. You can go in and so I teased the Chiefs up to 5.5 points. I have Christian McCaffrey scoring a touchdown, and I brought the over to 43.5. That's +260. So if you say you put down $10, you win 26. If you put down 100, you win 260. So that's my booze and lock. I think the game's going to be within 5.5 points with the Chiefs. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to score a touchdown, and I put the over at 43.5. Now, if you want to put the over up some more, you can make those odds even go to +300s. But that's my lock. Now, I have two other great bets I always bet on. I always bet on the octopus. So the octopus bet's always a fun bet. That if anybody doesn't know, it's a guy scoring a touchdown. Then he also gets the two-point conversion. So let's say Brock Purdy scrambles and scores a touchdown. And then the next play, he goes for two and he scrambles and scores again. That's called an octopus. So that's +1,300 odds there. That's a good one as well.
You bet like what? Like you bet like a dollar, and then if it happens, you win.
I bet $5. I win like he can win $130. So my last pick though, which is fun, is +2,000 to 1, and that's a scoregami. Do you guys know what a scoregami is?
No,
never heard of it.
Scoregami is a score that's never been scored before, so it's never had that same score in the Super Bowl. Always has weird stuff going on. There's safeties, there's missed kicks. Do you ever look at the scores of Super Bowls? They're never really like the same. They're not like a normal score. So I always put down a few bucks on the scoregami. It's hit actually, I think, a couple times in the last 10 years.
Oh, no. I've seen a few 17-14s and a couple 21-17s.
Yeah, but keep on going. You'll see some scoregamis in there.
Interesting.
It just if you guys missed that was the two scores that the Giants had against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and there was 15 flags. It doesn't count the three holding flags in the one play there.
So a scoregami pays about 2,000 to 1.
Yeah, 2,000 to 1.
That seems like a no brainer. Like put like $5 down.
Yeah, it's because it's the last Super Bowl scoregami was Super Bowl 43 when the Broncos Seahawks 43-8 was a scoregami. So it's happened before a couple of times. So it's fun. Play for it.
Yeah, that's definitely fun.
So those are my locks. But my biggest lock is that parlay. Chiefs 5.5, McCaffrey touchdown, over 43.
I like it. What's that payout?
+260. So if you bet $10, you win 26.
As of today, and that's subject to change if
they change all the
time. Gotcha, yeah.
It'll definitely go down after they hear Booze's locks. Like casinos would be like, "Oh crap, Booze!" Lord Booze, we gotta lower those odds quick.
Yep, 10 more people just put that bet in there. That's it.
Exactly. Nice. So that's my locks betting wise, and I like to again say 49ers picked them. I picked the Lions choke. I missed on the Ravens, but I think a lot of people did.
All right, Tim, we'll start with you. Super Bowl prediction. You can give me the winners. You can give me the score. If you have something in mind, a brief reason why.
I have the Chiefs winning by less than a touchdown. I'm thinking like 4 points.
What do you mean by 4 points?
2 points. I think I have them lose by 2 points. I don't know what the final score will be. I don't know how high scoring of a game it'll be. when I mentioned Brock Purdy earlier, and unless they made some adjustments, you know, their challenge with creative defensives, Steve Spagnuolo is going to, you know, like he's going to dial up something real creative. And I don't know that Brock Purdy is going to be prepared for it. And unfortunately, you're not going against Jared Goff this time. You're going against a competent quarterback who is going to take advantage of the mistakes that you make and the, you know, three and outs that you have. Okay. I'm giving a lot of credit again to the Chiefs defense, because I think they've stepped it up. They were okay throughout the year. They've been really good in the playoffs. So I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to do his thing. I don't think he's going to have like some crazy, spectacular, life-changing game. I think he'll have, you know, 200 yards, you know, shooting 65%, passing 65%. And yeah, I think the Chiefs defense is going to give Purdy some problems. And I think Christian McCaffrey's still going to do his thing. I think he's going to, you know, get a bunch of yards. I think they're going to end up kicking field goals. So I don't think they're going to see the end zone that much.
All right, Booz, what do you think?
All right, so it's really hard not to pick the Chief, the best quarterback of his generation, as Tim would say.
Of all generations.
Kelsey. It's really hard not to pick the Chiefs.
But are you?
No, because I just think the 49ers got too many weapons. I think you got Deebo Samuel, you got Christian McCaffrey, you got Brendan Ayuk, you got a stud defensive linebacker core. I know the defense isn't great, but I just think they can do enough against the Chiefs. 49ers 24, Chiefs 20. And there goes my 5.5-point tease I put in there.
All right. So you like the Niners. Tim likes the Chiefs. So that puts me the tiebreaker.
Yep.
You know, we were talking, I don't think we were recording this time, but we talked about making like emotional picks and things. And I definitely do that. I agree with you, Booz. I think it's hard to pick against Mahomes. And I think the only chance the 49ers have to win this game is if they win by two scores. Because a close game, right? And I'm going to, you know, I don't want to get into conspiracies, but it's a close game. No way the referees let the 49ers get close. They missed too many calls over the last couple of years. Stupid calls. There was a couple last week. There was some the week before. And there was some the year before against that. I won't get into the details. It's out there. It exists. But what are you going to do about it, right?
Here we go.
That being said, I think for the Niners to win this game, they have to win by more scores. Because if it's, like I'm telling you, a close game, there's no chance.
I agree.
I think they have the offense to do exactly that. But if the Chiefs defense keep playing this way. So anyway, my long-winded answer is I'm going with a more emotional pick. I am going to pick the 49ers because that's the team that I would like to root for. I want to root against the Chiefs, even though I know they're a solid team, everything we talked about before, and I respect them as a team. But I just don't think that – I think this year the 49ers are a better team, and they have an opportunity to prove that with their weapons, with everything they've done. I'm going 49ers. I'm going to say it's 31-21, 49ers.
That doesn't cover the 5.5 points I laid down.
For no, the I'm take, I'll take the over on the five. I'll take, you know, or whatever. That's my thought. I noticed, Booz, your score, your 24-20, is just a half a point over the over. That's, yep. You know, you just, you know, bing.
Chiefs will cover, but I think they lose. But, you know, I'll say this. If the Chiefs win, you know, I'm not going to feel like an idiot. I mean, this is the closest Super Bowl in a while. Like, you have two really good teams in here who are most part healthy. I think the 49ers really are still ticked off about 2020 in that Super Bowl. So
we'll see if that matters. You know, what scares me about the 49ers, honestly, is their coach. I don't have any confidence in their coach. I don't think he's a great coach.
What?
I'm not a fan of his. I think that maybe not as bad as Bruce feels about the Detroit coach, but that's what scares me. And in the battle of coaches, Andy Reid's a better coach.
Booz, I think you're a little bit disrespectful to say this is the best, too close to the Super Bowl as far as talent, because I feel like the Eagles were really good last year. Really, really good last year.
I think this game is a little more equal. I actually thought the Chiefs were a better team last year. I just think you got a lot of experience out there. So I'm hoping for a good game. I want a fourth quarter, a good game. Well, don't we always hope for.
Chiefs won last year after losing Tyreek Hill. Like, everyone thought that, oh, Tyreek Hill is the X factor, and he's really good. Like, no doubt about it.
Just a reminder, Brady won three after Randy Moss, too.
He didn't win any with Randy Moss.
But he lost one with Randy Moss. Need I remind you?
And Mahomes lost one with Tyreek Hill to Tom Brady.
Against a really good Tampa Bay defense.
With Tom Brady as quarterback.
They scored 9 points. Does that sound like a Brady win, or does that sound like a defense win?
It sounds like the Kansas City offensive line didn't show up in that game, as we remember.
But at all. They stayed at home. They're on vacation.
TB12 still 2-0 versus Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Well, we'll have to have another discussion maybe in a couple weeks to see who the better quarterback is. I think if Mahomes wins this game, we're just adding fuel to Tim's fire and every other Brady hater out there that just wants to see Brady dethroned despite the facts of the matter. But that's okay. That's okay. You're entitled to root for who you want to root for.
Hey, when your Giants haven't been in the playoffs in like 20 billion years, you got to root for somebody else just to feel good about yourself.
Here's a fun fact for you guys. The last two times that the Super Bowl was last year, Kansas City won in Glendale, Arizona. The time before that, Tom Brady won in Glendale, Arizona. And the time before that, Tom Brady lost to the Giants in Glendale, Arizona.
That's so painful.
Every single Glendale Super Bowl has a GOAT in it. And just so happens that the current GOAT is the one who played in last year's Super Bowl in Glendale,
Arizona. What do you think about Vegas as a Super Bowl site?
I wish I could go. I want to see this big sphere. It looks so cool.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Vegas, LA, I always loved the Rose Bowl when they had the Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl. That'll never happen again, but I just think that's cool. Miami, New Orleans, and Arizona. Those are my Super Bowl. Just keep them at those five. That's
New
what
Orleans
I said.
Is annoying. New Orleans is, it's always the New Orleans. So.
Yeah, but it's just a great Super Bowl city.
No, remember when we had it in Jersey?
Eastbourne. Yeah, I remember, that was my scoregami. New Jersey.
I love it.
Yeah, let's go to the Super Bowl in Vegas next year. It's in the Meadowlands. Super fun
with your turf that destroys NFL careers. You guys doing anything for the Super Bowl? Hosting anything? Going to any parties? Or just watching at home by yourself?
Well, I like watching at home and like being like involved in the game. I've been to a couple parties and like when the Pats were in it, and I hated it because I just wanted to focus on the game. We have a couple friends who are diehard sports nuts. My wife's a very good sports fan, so we all enjoy it. Cook some food, and we'll still judge some commercials too. We like doing that. That's always fun. But I missed the Bud Bowl. That was always my favorite as a kid growing up. The Bud Bowl was my favorite.
Bud Bowl.
Yeah, I was always a Bud Light fan versus Budweiser in the Bud Bowl.
Mark, do you have any plans?
No, I'm with Booze. I like to watch at home and just kind of hang out, check out the commercials. I'm going to be taking some more notes this year on some good commercials so that when we circle back, maybe we can reference some of the favorite ones. The biggest thing I'm looking forward to, honestly, is the rumored Deadpool 3 trailer coming out.
Oh, yes.
That. Ooh, that's a good one, Mark. Good call.
Yeah, that was going to segue into what I was going to say. What's your favorite? What are you anticipating the most? But so Deadpool 3, which is going to save the MCU. This is not an MCU podcast today, but
you're 100%.
We can bring it in here a little bit. Let's go. It's okay.
Well, I think we're going to get a wicked Madam Web. I know it's not MCU, it's Sony, but Madam Web is going to have a really good trailer as well.
Well, that trailer is already out. That trailer already exists.
No, so. They're going to have another. I'm saying they're going to have another one, a new one for the.
Yeah, but who cares at this point? You know what I mean? Like we've already seen the people in it, so now you're just doing another trailer, which is good.
First one was a teaser. This is the trailer.
I know nothing about Madam Web, so I'm not really. I just know that it's a very big game.
It's hard to get excited. Yeah, yeah,
Multiverse. But Deadpool 3 trailer. That's a great call, Tim. I love that call.
That was Mark.
Excellent call. Was that Mark? Yeah, sorry, Mark. I was trying to make Tim feel good and agree with him on something. So
thanks,
Mark. That was a good call. Deadpool 3 is a really. I'm trying to think what else would be a really good call, but
I think the Apple Vision Pro is going to be a really good because it's supposed to come out this year. I think that's going to be a big commercial. Oh, you know, Apple always gives those tear jerkers.
You know who makes good commercials? Doritos. I always like Doritos commercials. They always seem to have something creative, so I'm down for that.
Can't wait. It'll be fun.
What was the last inappropriate commercial that we got for Super Bowl?
GoDaddy with what's her face?
Danica Patrick.
Patrick girl. The GoDaddy commercials used to be, they pushed the line. All right, Mr. Tim, Mr. Booze, thank you so much for joining once again. This is always a good time. We're going to follow this up with a post Super Bowl show. Be sure to tune in. We'll see see if Booze's scoregami hits. We're looking for the octopus. Let's see how happy Booze is because who cares who wins the game if you hit one of those things? You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
So,
and before we drop, I want to just say it's January 31st when we're recording this. It's been a really awesome first month of the year. My Knicks were 14-2 on an 8-game winning streak, longest winning streak in the NBA right now. We were number one in the CBS power rankings. We are without our number one center, our number one power forward, and our number one shooting, small forward, and we're still busting ass by 20 plus points. Jalen Rose was robbed of the All-Star starting spot. He is a second team All-NBA player this year, and he is the best Knicks point guard that we've had since Clyde Frazier.
A lot of people lost a lot of weight in January, and they gained it back in February and March.
Tim, Boos, thanks for coming on. We'll get the next one. Good luck.
Sounds good.
Enjoy the game. Guys.